Radio Prague News.
Two EU commissioners are meeting with top officials in Prague to debate persisting problems with EU subsidy control. A Czech tour guide kidnapped by a group of Bedouin assailants in the coastal city of Nuweiba in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula has been released. And Education Minister Josef Dobeš has announced his decision to resign from office. Two EU commissioners, László Andor, the EU commissioner responsible for employment and social affairs, and the commissioner for regional policy, Johannes Hahn, are holding talks with top officials in Prague. The main issue on the agenda is the country's apparent inability to resolve its problems with subsidy control in drawing EU funds. The matter came to a head on Wednesday when the European Commission threatened to halt the payment of all EU subsidies unless the country's government improved the control and audit of EU subsidy programs by June of this year. The visiting EU commissioners are debating the issue with Prime Minister Petr Nečas, the Ministers of Finance, Local Development, Social Affairs and Education. A Czech tour guide kidnapped on Thursday morning in the coastal city of Nuweiba in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula has been released. The 35-year-old woman was abducted when her tour bus was stopped by a group of armed Bedouins while on her way back to the tourist resort of Sharm el-Sheikh. The woman was later released with the help of another Bedouin tribe, who also helped to capture the four assailants. The reason for the kidnapping is still unclear, although kidnappers usually demand the release of jailed tribesmen in return for any hostages they take. Education Minister Josef Dobeš has announced his decision to resign from office and will be leaving his post at the end of the month. Mr. Dobeš, a minister for the Junior Public Affairs Party, explained his decision at a press briefing in Prague on Thursday, saying he could not accept a further slash to the ministry's budget, which would mean cutting teachers' salaries and, in effect, violating the government's policy program. Prime Minister Petr Nečas said the decision was an honourable one, as he had asked the cabinet to either approve a total of 23.6 billion in cuts unanimously or else resign. Mr. Dobeš is one of the most contentious members of the government, having been criticised for mismanagement of EU funds, a botched university reform, and most recently his decision to extend the accreditation of the Pilsen Faculty of Law, a decision he was technically not entitled to make. He is the eighth minister to leave the current government. Industry Minister Martin Kuba has said the country should rely heavily on nuclear power in the coming years. Speaking at the International Energy Forum in Prague on Thursday, the minister said that in addition to expanding the Temelín nuclear power plant in South Bohemia and extending the service life of Dukovany in southern Moravia, it was necessary to seek a location for a third nuclear power plant. Minister Kuba said his ministry was currently drafting a long-term energy strategy, which would count on nuclear power covering 50% of domestic power consumption in the years ahead. He said the country could not support renewable energy sources that do not produce power at a reasonable price. Britain's Queen Elizabeth is to award conductor Jiří Bělohlávek the Order of the British Empire for his services to music, the British Embassy in Prague announced on Thursday. The 66-year-old Czech-born conductor, who is currently the chief conductor of the BBC Symphony Orchestra, said he was greatly honoured to have been selected for the award. He is to return to Prague to head the Czech Philharmonic Orchestra later this year. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days are expected to be clear and sunny, with daytime highs reaching 19 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Sarah Borůvka. Coming up in today's program, the embattled Czech Education Minister Josef Dobeš has announced his resignation, a move to rename Prague Airport after late President Václav Havel has been approved by the lower house, and later on in the program we find out about a Czech effort to save Irish greyhounds. All that coming up, so do stay with us. The embattled Czech Education Minister Josef Dobeš has announced he will step down. Mr. Dobeš, who has come under severe pressure over a number of issues, including EU funds and his planned university reform, cited further austerity measures as the reason. But observers point out that the minister just seized the opportunity to resign before he would be forced out of office. Jan Richter has the details.
Josef Dobeš of the Public Affairs Party has not had an easy time during his nearly two-year term at the Education Ministry. His plans for a reform of the Czech higher education system brought thousands of university students out into the streets. His choice of the bizarre far-right figure Ladislav Bátora as his advisor almost caused the fall of the whole government, and the European Commission refused to fund some of his botched educational programs. Most recently, Mr. Dobeš controversially reversed the decision to cancel graduate programs at the ailing Plzeň Law School. Josef Dobeš weathered all these storms, although last year his career at the ministry nearly came to an abrupt end when Prime Minister Petr Nečas wanted to sack him over his party's shady background. Mr. Dobeš was saved by the fact that President Václav Klaus refused to formally dismiss him, arguing that he was the best education minister the country had had since the fall of communism. On Wednesday, however, Mr. Dobeš had a change of heart. He refused further spending cuts in his ministry's budget, although the government agreed to lower them only by half. A day later, Mr. Dobeš announced his decision to step down from his post.
Having to slash 2% from teacher salaries is unacceptable for me because it would go against the government's program. In February, I allocated 4.5 billion crowns to regional schools, and now, in April, I would have to cut 1 or 2 billion. That's something I simply refuse to do. That will have to be decided by my successors.
Some observers, however, noted that mounting problems at the ministry would have led to Mr. Dobeš's demise in any case. The daily Hospodarské noviny reported that Prime Minister Petr Nečas would have sacked the troubled education minister if he had not stepped down of his own accord. Under these circumstances, it seems that Mr. Dobeš took advantage of the situation, which allowed him to make a dignified exit. The Prime Minister welcomed Mr. Dobeš's decision with relief.
I consider his decision to be politically correct and honest. All ministers in my government know they have to back the cabinet's key fiscal decisions, the only possible protest being their resignation. Mr. Dobeš has made the right choice.
Josef Dobeš will formally tender his resignation to the Prime Minister on Friday and will remain in his post until the end of the month. The leader of the coalition Public Affairs Party said either MPs Dagmar Navratilova or Milan Štovíček might replace Mr. Dobeš at the Education Ministry.
Thanks for that, Jan. And if you have any opinion on this hot issue, of course, we are very happy if you would share it on our Facebook page or write us an email to english@radio.cz. After 3 months of waiting and some sideline debates, the government has agreed to rename Prague's international airport after the late President Václav Havel. While the Havel family and the tens of thousands who asked for the change are pleased, there has finally been some progress. A new problem has arisen with the English translation of the airport's name. Christian Falvey has this report.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas made the announcement on Wednesday, saying that the technical issues would be resolved in time for Prague Ruzyně International Airport to be renamed in Václav Havel's honor by October 5th, the anniversary of the late president's birthday, when he would have turned 76. The idea was conceived by director Fero Fenič just one day after Mr. Havel's death on December 18th last year and received some 80,000 signatures in the first month alone.
There will be plenty of memorials to Václav Havel all over the Czech Republic, streets and squares named after him, statues of varying quality. Maybe there will even be too many. But the airport, that is the gateway to our country, and the country's gateway to the world.
Proponents of the name change note not only the fitting fact that Mr. Havel opened Czechoslovakia to the world, but also that it was in Ruzyně prison that he lost some of his years and faced tough physical conditions, Opponents, meanwhile, have lambasted the idea of naming an airport after someone who disliked flying and have suggested naming a theatre after the playwright instead. In any case, the decision is final. The practical aspects of the renaming will involve expected costs of around 4 million crowns and will be paid by the airport operator, the joint stock company Letiště Praha. The name Praha will remain on the building of Terminal 1 due to registration with international aviation organizations. The airport will use the English name for the most part, with the Czech Letiště Václava Havla Praha to be used in press releases, onboard announcements in Czech, municipal transit, and general texts about the airport. The former president's widow Dagmar, who recently criticized the government for taking so long to make the change, shared her satisfaction with the decision.
The name of Václav Havel is certainly nothing to be ashamed of anywhere in the world, especially not in the Czech Republic. Quite the contrary. It will be a great calling card for us. I am very happy, and I think Václav is very happy too.
While the name of Václav Havel is nothing to be ashamed of, the government-approved translation in English is. Local newspapers on Thursday were lucky to preempt foreign dailies by noting that Prague Airport Václav Havel is at best awkward and at worst ridiculous in English. The syntax follows the Czech and recalls the clumsy translations of small businesses in the 1990s, like Hair Salon Daisy or Nightclub Veronica. Should the airport management fail to hear better linguistic advice, it threatens to use Prague Airport Václav Havel on its facade, letterheads, business cards, envelopes, and website. What's more, the airport language advisors made the curious decision of dropping the diacritic from the name Václav, perhaps assuming that to be to blame for the poor pronunciation of the easily pronounceable name Václav in the English-speaking media, where it is often botched as Václav or even Václav. The best-case scenario could possibly just be Havel International Airport.
That report was brought to you by Christian Falvey. Thanks for that, Christian. And now in this week's edition of Panorama, Daniela Lazarova brings us a report on Irish greyhounds who find a new home in the Czech Republic. A few hours of browsing the web changed Lucie Poučová's life forever after accidentally coming upon a site reporting on the fate of unwanted racing greyhounds in Ireland. She decided to get involved and now runs an animal welfare organization dedicated to rehoming unwanted greyhounds from Ireland and Spain with families in the Czech Republic. Greyhounds in Need was set up in the spring of 2010, and Lucia recalls how it all came about.
Od malička jsem měla ráda zvířátka, prostě byly to pejskové, kočičky.
I have always been fond of animals, dogs, cats, and even farm animals at my granny's home in the country. Once I was looking at a cat site and happened to come upon a link to this greyhound webpage which alerted animal lovers to the fate of unwanted racing greyhounds in Ireland. The information and pictures came as a huge shock. I arranged to adopt one of those unwanted greyhounds and soon I realized I wanted to save more than just this one dog. The Czech Republic is a nation of dog lovers, and although operating on a tight budget, the Greyhounds in Need charity organization has helped save close to 200 greyhounds. She and her friends operate a website and make monthly visits to Ireland to bring back greyhounds who would otherwise be put down. While a greyhound's life expectancy is 13 to 14 years, ex-racing greyhounds in Ireland generally live 3 or 4 years before being cast off or put down. Lucia explains that under Irish law, greyhounds are regarded as something akin to farm animals.
Irové jako takový Mají samozřejmě rádi zvířata.
Of course, the Irish like animals. They have household pets just like we do, but they do not regard greyhounds as pets. People have dogs, but with very small exceptions, they do not choose greyhounds, which means that only a tiny fraction of racing greyhounds finds a home once they are considered past their prime, which is at age 3 or 4. The rest are either put down professionally or killed far more brutally. And if they do manage to get into a dog shelter, the chance of someone taking them home is practically nil. Their only chance is getting adopted in a foreign country, Belgium, Germany, the Netherlands, or the Czech Republic. There are many organizations like ours on the continent. The number of greyhounds in need of new homes in Ireland alone is staggering. Every year, around 5,000 greyhounds are taken off the racing course because they're no longer in top form and their fate hangs in the balance. Animal rights activists and welfare groups from around Europe do their best to save as many as they can. Lucia says they bring over as many dogs as they can find new homes for, and sometimes more if they hear of a dog in danger of being put down. She explains how it works.
Zpravidla to děláme tak, že pejskové přijíždějí už.
The way it usually works is that the greyhounds arrive and their adoptive families are ready and waiting for them. All the arrangements are made in advance. We are in contact with the people who have expressed interest in taking in a greyhound. We explain what it will entail, what the dog's needs are, and then visit their home to check up on the surroundings. We take into consideration whether they have children, whether they work away from home, and so on. We really try to make an ideal match.
Takže vlastně konkrétní pejsek pro konkrétní rodinku.
Adoptive families make a one-off payment of 4,500 crowns, which is not the price of the greyhound, but goes to cover the cost of its transport from Ireland and veterinary care. Anything left over goes to cover the organization's operational costs, such as phone calls to Ireland and publicity in order to spread word about the need for more adoptive families. In many cases, families who adopt one greyhound find the dog such an excellent and amiable companion that they often call and register for another. Lucia, whose family of greyhounds has grown to 6, says that they are gentle and loving creatures.
V mnohém jsou podobní jako pejskové z našich útulků.
In many ways, these dogs are like any other you would adopt from a local dog shelter. We do not always know the dog's history and what the animal has been through, so you have to work on building up trust. But in the case of our greyhounds, you may find that they are not house-trained, never having lived with people. But they are very intelligent animals and are very quick to learn. And I must say, they are extremely loving. They make these funny singing sounds when they greet you and click their teeth when they are happy or anticipating a walk. It is simply their way of expressing pleasure.
Opravdu vás nechtějí sežrat, oni tím říkají, já tě mám rád.
Maria Hakerová adopted a greyhound from Ireland a year ago and she says she has never regretted the decision.
I
learned about this help program quite by accident. I happened to pick up a leaflet in a doctor's waiting room and I was very horrified to find what was happening to these beautiful animals. I immediately thought to myself, you have got to do a good deed here. And despite already having 2 dogs, I asked to get a greyhound. She's absolutely wonderful, and I don't think we are going to leave it there. I think we'll get another one next year to give her a companion.
Příští rok si pořídíme ještě jedno, aby měla kamaráda, viď?
The organization Greyhounds in Need has a website and is on Facebook. If you would like to help its endeavor, either by adopting a dog or in some other way, you will find more information in Czech, English and German at www.hrdivnozi.cz. Daniela Lazarova brought you this edition of Panorama. Thank you for that, Daniela. And now we are rounding off our regular weekday program with ABC, our popular Czech language learning series brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to a fresh Czech language lesson explaining Czech idioms featuring wild animals. Now, can you guess which animal this is? If your guess was a motorcycle, you're completely wrong. The correct answer is the bear, the largest beast of prey in Europe. Once bears used to be plentiful in the dense forests of this region, but from the 16th century on, their numbers started dwindling, as they were popular prey for local hunters. The last bear in Bohemia was shot in 1856 in the Šumava Mountains. Today, bears can occasionally be seen in North Moravia when they stroll over from neighboring Slovakia. But to the point, the Czech word for bear is
medvěd.
The word is related to the word honey,
med,
which is the bear's favorite treat. Otherwise, bears feed on forest fruit and roots, but also small or dead animals. It sometimes happens that they attack farm animals too. In more recent times, bears also like to munch on leftovers of food abandoned by tourists. Because the bear lives as a lonely individual, the Czech word
medvěd
connotes a loner, a grumpy person. To grumble like a bear is
bručet jako medvěd,
literally to growl like a bear. The word
bručon
is derived from that phrase, and although originally meaning bear, it also means a grumpy person. Not only reclusive and grumpy, bears are also renowned for their awkward movement. Although they can run at a speed of up to 22 kilometers per hour if they have to, they are considered to be slow and clumsy. Big and clumsy people are in Czech often described as
medvěd.
If they also have big hands, you can say
má pracky jako medvěd.
He has paws like a bear. An interesting idiom is the bear service.
Medvědí služba.
It comes from a fable by the French author Jean de La Fontaine, and the expression means a well-intentioned service which in the end harms the recipient. Such as when the bear in the fable, who was supposed to drive away flies from a sleeping man, killed the one which was sitting on the man's head while crushing his very head as well at the same time. So,
medvědí služba
is a disservice. We hope our lessons are nothing like that. Well, our time is up, but you can join us next time for another lesson about Czech wild animal idioms. Until then,
nashledanou!
Pavla Horáková with ABC wrapped up Radio Prague's English show for today. And I'm afraid this brings us to the end of the program, but please tell us if you've got any thoughts on what you've heard on the show today. You can contact us at english@radio.cz or find us on Facebook. And as always, everything you've heard in the program can also be found at our website radio.cz. There you can find a huge archive of reports and features in both text and audio form, and also sign up for free news email or use our podcasting. We'll talk to you again soon, but until then, from me, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you so much for listening, and goodbye. Satellite listeners, stay tuned for more music by Petr Muk.